The Blue Water Chamber of Commerce hosts a variety of networking events, connecting their members with leads, referrals, and people they can do business with. See what's happening at the Chamber and how they can help your business grow at bluewaterchamber.com.
All right, 13 and a half minutes past 9 o'clock on this Friday morning. Happy Friday, one and all. Caleb in for Paul today. And we're going to talk a little bit more about gas prices. A guest that I like to welcome onto the morning show every time I fill in. And he makes surrounds all over the place, especially as of late. You seem to see him on every network news channel imaginable. The one and only Patrick DeHaan from GasBuddy.com. Patrick, good morning.
Good morning, Caleb. Great to be with you.
Yeah, it's great to talk to you as well, and thanks for making some time for us. And I swear, Patrick, especially in right after the invasion of Ukraine, I guess that was a couple months ago now. I swear I saw you pretty much everywhere and anywhere talking about gas prices.
Yeah, you know, it was a tumultuous time for what everyone was experiencing here, and obviously the invasion that was crazy to think that Russia's war has been going on now for 2 months.
So what happened is when that happened and people stopped using Russian oil, or sanctions were put in place, or people just voluntarily decided to stop using Russian oil, that shot the price of crude oil up way high, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. As folks may remember, early on after the invasion, oil prices shot up to $135 a barrel on a lot of unknowns. When you see a major global oil producer launch a war on another country or invasion, especially when they produce a lot of oil, there's going to be some collateral damage. And obviously, Russia being one of the world's largest oil producers, well, probably not so much anymore, obviously pushes oil up on the presumption that there's going to be a disruption to oil supply. And that's exactly what's turned out.
And the United States doesn't necessarily rely on oil, Russia, for their oil. We produce a lot of our own. We get a lot of it from Canada. But the fact that all of a sudden all of those barrels of oil that Russia produces weren't available on the international marketplace is why we ended up paying more for it, too.
Yeah, that's right. Oil is a global market. Just like you can, if you really wanted to, fly to Asia today or fly to Europe. It's very much a global world we live in. And so while we weren't necessarily the customers of Russia, I mean, we still got about 800,000 barrels a day of various products, not so much crude oil. But, when you have such a huge disruption to a commodity that is used globally, it doesn't matter if the U.S. is the end customer of Russia or not. Somebody that is, say Germany, for example, they're working on sanctioning Russian energy, but now Germany's going to have to find supply elsewhere, and they're going to be knocking on the doors of the countries that we do business with.
So when that happened a few months ago now, Pat, we saw prices get above $4 a gallon. We were seeing like $4.25, $35, $45 even here in the local area. And then things cooled off and started looking like $3.89, $3.99. And then it seems like all of a sudden on Monday, prices went back up into that $4.25, $35 range. What happened recently to push us back up into that above $4 a gallon price point again?
Well, a lot of it has been declining inventories of gasoline in the last couple of weeks. We've made the final transition to summer gasoline. That was a deadline that hit on May 1st. But oil prices have been going back up again. We're up another $1.50 a barrel this morning to $110. You'll notice the price of diesel has spiked as well.
Has it.
Diesel is now averaging $5.50 a gallon nationwide. So, it's not real good out there in terms of inventories that are declining. In fact, diesel inventories in the Northeast are at their lowest level in over 30 years. So, there's a lot going on. Not all of it's good. In fact, refineries are having a tough time keeping up with demand, and that's part of the reason why refineries are producing. But that's why inventories are consistently declining week over week, and have for the last, call it 2 to 3 months, as demand has started going up out of the summer driving season. So it's just very tight market out there for diesel, more so but also gasoline.
And everyone wants to know who's to blame. So, Patrick, in your infinite wisdom, who can we all blame for this? Is it Putin? Is it Biden? Is it the economy? I mean, what?
Well, everyone likes to finger point, right? Well, if you'd like to be correct and factual and who to blame, there was this event in March 2020 that shut down the country for a little bit of time. I almost forget, you know, now that the mask mandate is gone. If you really want to blame something, COVID upended consumption, and that started the wheels of where we are today. And obviously, when America stopped driving for a couple of weeks early on in the pandemic, oil companies cut production, OPEC cut production, everyone cut production. The economy resumed, and oil producers kind of dragged their feet, especially OPEC. I'll say OPEC dragged their feet. But if it wasn't for COVID, we wouldn't have seen our you know, energy independence go away. And I would point out that when President Trump had left office, U.S. oil production had fallen to 10 million barrels. That wasn't because of President Trump. That was because of COVID. And now we are starting to see U.S. oil production go back up, which is a good thing. But then on top of it, you know, Russia's decision to invade Ukraine and upend world markets and cause the U.S. and other countries to issue sanctions. I mean, obviously, if Russia didn't do that, we wouldn't have issued sanctions. So, you know, if you want to blame Putin, I think I blame Russia. And, I mean, the U.S. chose to respond in its way. I think it was a correct move to sanction Russia, but it's not because Russia invaded Ukraine. It's because the U.S. issued sanctions.
And Patrick, what about the greedy, you know, big oil companies? We've heard that argument thrown out. Is there gouging going on? Are they taking advantage of this situation with Russia to charge more than maybe the market determines, or no?
Oil companies don't set prices. They're price receivers, takers. They have to take whatever price the market determines. And you'll remember back in early 2020, right? They had to accept at one point, you know, -$37 a barrel. They were paying, well, not so much oil companies, but traders. Oil companies were selling oil for $10 to $20 a barrel. They would never have set that price. If they ultimately had the choice, they would never lower the price to $10 or $20 a barrel. So oil companies are getting an advantage because oil prices are high and because we're consuming a lot of oil. You know, but if you look at companies, we'd be remiss not to mention that Apple made $85 billion last year. Shell just had a great quarter, right? They earned $9 billion. That's a great quarter for them. Nine times four, real quick, right? 36. So $36 billion, and we're complaining about a company that made you $36 billion, and Apple sitting over here saying, you know, we made $85 billion in profit last year.
Wow. You know, that's why we like having you on, Patrick. You put things into perspective like almost no one else can when it comes to oil, because it seems like especially the oil and energy sector is just highly politicized, and it's hard to really get the facts straight. And that's why we appreciate checking in with you from time to time. A couple more things. So we're talking politics, and we're talking to Patrick DeHaan with GasBuddy.com. And in the next segment, we're going to talk to Emily Lawler, who covers state politics here in Michigan. But another a push by another state lawmaker here in Michigan, this time by Republican State Senator Roger Victory, to suspend the state's motor vehicle fuel tax. We've also heard some pushes to do that on the federal level as well. Patrick, is this a good way of at least temporarily pushing down those prices to something a little more manageable, or do tax holidays really work at that?
Well, they work. Right, they've worked everywhere they've been implemented because stations do pass the discounts along. However, as an analyst, and as a motorist, I love it, right, because falling prices. But as an analyst, it's a little bit different because why are we in this situation where prices are so high anyway, right? It's because of supply and demand, right? Supply is in, well, we're in kind of short supply because of Russia. The other reason is because demand. Demand is going up. The economy's strong. We're driving everywhere. So what I don't like is demand is so high, what is lowering price going to do? Is that going to help demand go down, or is it going to help demand go up? Well, if anything, it's going to push demand up, and that's going to worsen the problem. So, you know, and it may not be tangible in a way that, you know, after the fact that if they do it, you know, you may not say, oh yeah, prices went way up after, but it, economics works. And I don't like politicians getting in the way, even if it does benefit my wallet and lower prices. The problem is this is going to have ill-intended consequences down the road, depending on how long it is, because it's incentivizing people to go fill up. It's making the problem worse inherently because supply and demand, it's altering with the potential to alter demand. So as a motorist, I love it. As an analyst, I don't really like it because it's getting in the way of economics. I say let economics work.
Well, I appreciate,
you know, I don't curb my consumption if prices are lower.
Yeah. No, that's a very fair point. I've never thought about it that way. That's why I appreciate your viewpoints and your insight on this and many more things. And before we let you go, Patrick, again, people are looking to find the best deals now more than ever on gasoline. Where do they need to go to find out about it?
I'm glad you asked, Caleb. I like to remedy people to check the Gas Buddy app or download it because, you know, aside from obviously me being part of Gas Buddy, I think that's, everyone should be shopping around, whether it's Gas Buddy's app or Google or Waze. People pull into a station and they spend too much on fuel, especially when prices are $4 and $5 a gallon for gas and diesel. And if they really want to get into the weeds on the mechanics and how gas prices work, you know, I'm generally on Twitter posting way too much about that information. My handle's at Gas Buddy Guy, or they can just go to the Gas Buddy website, gasbuddy.com, and check out the blog.
I appreciate it. As always, Patrick DeHaan from Gas Buddy joining us here. He's a senior petroleum analyst on 1380 WPHM. It's Caleb in for Paul, 925 the time now.